Last week, we began our new series where we are looking at the various elements of our practice of Holy Communion. That what does this table mean, and what does it mean when we come together and we receive the bread and the juice? And so we have been looking at the various meal scenes in Luke's gospel, because as I said last week, in Luke's gospel, Jesus really likes to eat, right? He eats over 10 times with various people, and those various interactions, those characters that we are presented with, teaches us something different about what the kingdom of God is and who it includes. And so as we come into today's text, we are told that Jesus has been invited by a Pharisee to come to his house for dinner. And if you read on in the text, you learn that this Pharisee's name is Simon. And while Jesus is there, when he comes to the house to eat, this woman enters. And Simon, in his mind, says, "Who does Jesus think he is? Why would he welcome her? Doesn't he know that the woman who is touching him is a sinner?" And that is where Jim left off in our reading today. Several years ago, I was at a dinner. It was on a Tuesday, and we were serving different people in the community. And most of these individuals would come to dinner on a regular basis, and so we had formed relationships with them, and we knew who they were. Well, one day we were sitting around, and everyone was talking as the ladies were in the kitchen preparing the meal, right? And in walks this man. And his clothes were dingy and torn and ripped, and he smelled a little funny. And someone came over to me and said, "Are we going to let him eat?" And I said, "Yes, of course we're going to let him eat." And they said, "Well, he needs to wait until the end to make sure we have enough food for everyone else that is here that paid to come." Now, this woman who said this was one of the kindest women I've ever met. But she was a lot like Simon. She let her perceptions of sin get in the way from the very fundamental nature of the table, which is that all are welcome to come and receive the abundant gift and grace of Jesus Christ. So as we come into this table scene, we notice that the first thing we learn about this woman is that she lives in the city, and according to Luke, she is a sinner. Now, we don't know the nature of her sin. It has been assumed throughout Christian tradition that she must have been a prostitute. If you read some commentaries, that is where they automatically assume. Because she's a woman, somehow her sin must be sexual, right? But it doesn't tell us that. We know nothing about that from the text. We're reading into the text. Now, another thing that we could learn about her is if you read the other Gospels, Matthew and Mark and John all have a story about a woman with an alabaster jar of ointment pouring it on Jesus' feet. Now, the other stories are about how could this woman waste such a precious gift when she could help the poor. That's what their emphasis is. But in John, what's interesting is that the woman is not named as a sinner at all. In fact, in John's gospel, the story happens right when Jesus comes into the city before the Passover, and it occurs at Lazarus' house, not Simon's. And you know the story of Mary and Martha, where Martha is busy preparing and Mary just sits at Jesus' feet. You know that story? Yeah? Well, in John's gospel, the woman with the alabaster jar is named as Mary. So interestingly, all of the gospels kind of tell this story a little bit different. But I like Luke's version the most. I like Luke's emphasis on her being welcomed at the table. Now, Simon has this thought, right? It says, now the Pharisee who had invited Jesus in, he said to himself, right? He doesn't say it out loud. He doesn't yell at Jesus like the Pharisees often did and question him. He just kind of says to himself in his own mind. Have you ever had a moment like that where you've said something in your head and then somebody responds to it out loud and you're like, are they reading my mind? That's kind of what happens here. The man says in his own mind, if Jesus were a prophet, he would have known what kind of woman who was touching him, that she is a sinner. Now, Jesus' response tells us something about who Jesus is. First, it tells us that Jesus really is who he says he is, because Simon says, if he were a prophet, he would know who this woman is. And Jesus says, I know what you're thinking, right? Like, let me get back at you a little bit here. But then he goes on to say, and this is where Jim left off. It says, Jesus spoke up and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Teacher, he replied, speak. And then Jesus goes into a story, a parable, like Jesus likes to do. He doesn't directly respond to the question. And he says, a certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. Now, if you know anything about denarii, it was about a day's wage, right? So this was a lot of money. Whether it was 500 or 50, we're still talking about substantial amounts of money, all right? And he said, when they could not pay, he canceled the debt for both of them. Now, which one of them loved him more? And Simon answered, I suppose the one whom he canceled the greater debt? And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. And turning to the woman, he said, Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she bathed my feet with her tears, and she dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she could not stop kissing my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins have been many. We don't know what they are, but they have been many. She has been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one whom little is forgiven loves little. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So we come into this story, and Simon kind of is like, whoa, why is Jesus letting this woman rub all over his feet? She's crying on them. She's drying them with her hair. She's kissing all over them. She's rubbing this precious ointment all over his feet. Why would he do that? And so Jesus responds with a story. He says, you have these two people. They both owe large debts. One is obviously quite larger than the other, almost 10 times. But the man who is owed the debts forgives both debts. Now, clearly, Jesus is making a comparison between the two people who owe debts and Simon and the woman, right? Simon's sin, Simon's debt, is not as great as the woman. But here's the thing about Simon. as righteous as he thinks he is, as good as he thinks he is, he's a sinner too. He's just as messed up as she is, and he needs forgiveness just as much. I want you to imagine for a moment a community. A group of people, it could be in a church, it could be outside of a church, it could be inside a building or out in nature. But I want you to imagine a community where everyone is welcome. Where everyone is allowed entrance, whether they're able to pay for a ticket or not. Where everyone can get in and use the resources of that space abundantly. Where everyone can play and sing and dance and rejoice. Where no one is turned away or patted down or carted at the door. That is the very type of community that Jesus calls us to be a part of. Because this table, this is a table of forgiveness. And whether you are the most righteous person or the worst sinner, God says, come here and I will forgive you. This is the exact community that's missing in Simon's house. Now we learn it's not just Simon and Jesus and the woman. It says there were others seated there as well, right? He was hosting a big fancy dinner party for him and all of his friends, and he wanted to invite Jesus, the new guy in town, probably to give him crap, right? He probably had ulterior motives. So we know there were more people. And while they're there, this unnamed woman comes in. And everyone there knows her. They know whatever she's done. But yet her actions toward Jesus shows her longing desire to be restored and to be in his presence. Everything she does out of love for Jesus. She offers her very best. She offers her own tears. But Simon's story, I think, is a lot like the story of the church. Philip Yancey, he's an author. He writes the book, Where is God When It Hurts? I think is the title of that book. But he tells this story of a friend he had in Chicago who did ministry with poor persons in the city of Chicago. And he was visited one day by a prostitute who was in dire straits. Said she had been renting an apartment out for her and her two-year-old daughter. And she rented out this apartment for the sole purpose of having sex with other men in so she could earn money to support her drug habit. And she was homeless, and she was sick, and she was unable to buy food for herself and for her daughter. And so his friend asked her, well, have you thought about coming to church? And the woman responded, horrified, church? Why would I ever go there? I am already feeling terrible about myself. Those people would just make me feel worse. I wonder how true this statement is for people in the world who are judged by those who feel more righteous than them. Because this place is a place for those who are righteous and a place for those who are sinners. It is a place for the oppressed and the oppressor to come together in commonality. It is a place for all of us to come to the table and experience the forgiving power of Jesus Christ. Because we are talking about communion this month, we have been taking communion together every week. And we are going to continue that practice this morning. But I want you for a moment, I want you to take your hymnal. There's one in front of you. I did not tell Jake to put this on the screen, sorry. But I want you to turn to page 12 for just a moment. And you will see this is one of the services of Word and Table. This is a service of communion that we practice in the life of the church. It is the same as the other service. It's just a little bit abbreviated. But at the very beginning of the service of communion, the pastor is supposed to say, "Christ invites all to his table, all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and who seek to live in peace with one another." Our communion liturgy tells us that this is a place where everyone is welcome. And everyone is called to come and to confess their sin. And as I think about the woman with the alabaster jar, that's exactly what she is doing. She doesn't say anything with her words, right? She doesn't say, "Ah, Lord Jesus, look, these are all of the things that I have done." But she recognizes, even if she doesn't know what her sin is, she recognizes that she needs God. She recognizes that something in her life is off kilter, and that the thing that will bring it back into balance is Jesus. And so she does everything that she possibly can to show Jesus how much she loves him, by crying on his feet and drying them with her hair and kissing them and anointing them with precious oil. This is exactly what we are called to do. Because, hey, guess what? We're all a bunch of sinners. We're all a bunch of screwed up people who don't do what we are called to do. Even when we think we are super righteous like Simon, and we follow the letter of the law to a T, we still mess up. And so we are called, when we come to this table, to confess to God where we have sinned, even if we can't name that sin. Because that's part of sin, that sometimes we're blinded by it. We don't know that we're doing it. But this table is a means of grace. This table is a place where our sin is revealed to us in new ways. And that's exactly what happens with the woman and with Simon. Because of that table, their sins are revealed to them, and they are forgiven. And so this morning, I want us to go through this practice of confession. Even if you don't know what you're confessing, it's okay, because the table is a table of forgiveness. And so on page 12, we're just going to go through this part together. It says, "Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and who seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, let us confess our sin before God and before one another." Would you join me in the prayer of confession? Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. And we have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died while we were yet sinners. And this proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. When you come here this morning, when you come to the feet of Jesus, this is a place where you will be forgiven and restored. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks today for all that you are and all that you do. We thank you for welcoming us in whatever state of faith we are in. God, and I pray that we could be more like the woman in this story. That we would be more willing to come to you and to worship you, O God, and to give everything that we are back to you. God, I pray that everyone here would know of your forgiving power and that they would know that they are forgiven in your name. God, we love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.